As the great independent director, Mr. Werner Herzog, once said, I despise formal restaurants. I find all of that formality to be very base and vile. I would much rather eat potato chips on the sidewalk.
Hello and welcome to Potato Chips and the Sidewalk. I'm your host, Jacob, and joining me, as always, is...
Barbecue Benjamin. What flavor of chip are you, Jacob?
I don't know. Probably like one of those like Red Rock Deli limited edition ones.
Okay, so you're expensive, are you?
I'm feeling expensive now because I don't know what I was going on with that. But so yes, we have recently watched Dev Patel's directorial, I believe, screenwriting debut, Monkey Man. The film follows a man who we know as Bobby, who played by Dev Patel, who is seeking revenge against the man, but also by extension the political rot that led to his mother's like horrible violent death at the hands of them. Ben, what were your thoughts going into this, and what did you end up thinking of this film?
Well, I had like a lot about it going into it. You know, high expectations were set. The trailer looked really good. You know, like, and Jordan Peele putting his like, you know, stamp of approval on it by coming on as a producer to get it off of Netflix and into theaters. You know, like I wanted a lot out of it, and I liked it. But I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag for me personally. It might take like a second viewing for me to really like get on its wavelength a little bit more. But yeah, I think it's really good, just not quite great for me. What about you?
Yeah, I really, really, really liked it. I was a bit scared going into it that it was going to be a John Wick clone, like I think a lot of people thought it was, because, you know, they marketed it that way. And look, the movie even makes a joke to like sort of set itself apart from John Wick, where like the lead character like is buying a gun, and like one of the guns that like is being sold to him is like, oh, this is one of the guns John Wick had, it's quick, fast and small. But then Dev Patel's like, actually, I think I might want this like a gun that's cheaper, less effective at a long range. And like I think that almost kind of sums up the film in a way, at least in terms of the action. But actually, I'd say also the political social commentary in it. But like it's super messy. Like I think it's a very messy film. I think mostly in a good way, though. Like I think it's done very sincerely. It's like very visceral. And you know, the Dev Patel is like really animalistic in it. He's like just so rage filled, and it's like like a lot of people have made comparisons to like the style being very similar to like a Danny Boyle film, and I can definitely see that. I was really, really impressed by it. It's not perfect, and I think like it is a bit politically haphazard, but I can't like, I don't know. I really liked it, but I do have some issues with it. And I think one of the things that a lot of people are going to talk about are the needle drops, which are definitely, in my opinion, mixed bag.
Well, it's also like it's needle drops of covers as well.
Well, covers and remixes, like
yeah. Not all the needle drops really bothered me. It's just a few of them really did, like, you know, stand out as a bit jarring. But
look, there is a part where the main character's like he's like looking at like a sex worker at his the place he's working at being mistreated, and then it like has a very slow drawn like remix of Roxanne. It's like okay Dev.
Like, well, going back to what you were saying about, you know, like it's political stuff. I don't really know much about what's happening in India right now, except apparently there is a growth in fascism that's happening right now that I didn't know about until very recently. And I really don't know where the movie comes down and like what's actually happening in real life, but I think it is like a pretty potent and, you know, like straightforward, you know, you can tell like Dev Patel really condemns like the kind of like corruption and just police state that seems to be he seems to be depicting in this film, and I found that aspect probably to be like one of the most interesting parts of the film, where it's obviously this is like this, you know, action movie that is like over the top with its violence and its kills here and there, but it's it does focus, like, you know, in like everyone's gonna be comparing this to John Wick, but the revenge isn't it is like, you know, personal with his mother, but it's also, it's not just like, oh, you killed my dog, haha, let's go just go kill every person who was like responsible for killing my dog. It's kind of like, okay, my mother was killed in brutal police state violence, and I'm going to be labeled a terrorist, but I'm going to be, that's where it's coming from. I think it, that layer of it just gave it a little bit more than, like, I'm saying this as someone who loves John Wick, especially the first John Wick, where, like, it is a bit of, like, of a comedic premise, and I think it's good that this, more than anything, really, didn't try to be too zany with its, with how it went about that. Like, a movie called Monkey Man about, like, you know, like a guy who's, coming up and, seeking revenge in the Indian, you know, like political space. Like, it could easily be misconstrued as like a comedic thing, but the tone stays very, consistent throughout it, and I really appreciated that about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like, you know, that's the thing, it's like, it's not until like the very end of John Wick 3 where it's like John Wick 1 is like he just wants revenge for his wife's death and also the dog, and then like 2 and 3 are him basically just sort of trying to like just survive in a way, like,
yeah.
But then it's like 4 and onwards is when he gets to the rot. But this is all about, like, you know, the revenge isn't just personal, it is like, it is about a political rot that stayed, and that's what is motivating him. Like, and look, I think it was really, really impressive, like, because I think, like, we're introduced to him as an adult, as a fighter for hire who's like playing a losing player in a fixed boxing match,
which also, like, I want to point out, like, Sharlto Copley, who's the corrupt boxing man, seemed angry that he's like winning at any point. Like, fixing a boxing match only works if he's like a good fighter and people are betting on him.
Yeah,
I don't know, like, there's a point where like his returns like advertised, and I'm like, but isn't this the guy who always loses? Like, I just really that part of it confused me. But sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, but it's like no, definitely. But like, besides that, it actually holds off on the action until like probably like a full hour into the movie, because pretty much the whole thing is he gets a job at a hotel, and who one of the managers is like the wife of the man who killed his mother.
Yeah.
You know, and it's him sort of like infiltrating this thing. It's like, it's not slow paced by any means, but like, for a film that's been completely, you know, advertised as balls to the wall action, like, it does have patience in getting to, like, there's two main really
extended sequences
of action in it. Yeah. Like, But they're both like 20 to 30 minutes and like they're both really good. And like, no, I really respected, especially for like a debut feature, just the patience it took to get there. Like it took the patience to get there, but it's never boring. It's always involving, but like, I just feel like, especially because this film seemingly had a pretty rough production history, like Dev Patel broke his hand and had to be flown it to another country to get his broken hand fixed, like when he was filming the first action sequence in the film.
Yeah.
And like, you know, financiers like pulling some funding out, or like a lot of things, like a lot of the crew needing to be extras, like I could feel that, like, with that production history, you could probably have like some financiers in the ear being like, hey, why don't you just put this, just cut all this shit. Let's just get to the action. And I'm really glad it held off on that when a lot was working against its actual production.
Yeah. With its action, I think for the most part is very good and like very cool. Like, but there was one thing during the first like extended sequence, like maybe like three quarters of the way through that sequence, where he's like making his escape, and he enters like this bar, and he's like fighting people who have an axe, and like it's a really cool action sequence. Like, I was like, oh, this is really cool. But at that moment, I was just kind of like, who are these people and why is he fighting them? A lot of that was happening for me, during that sequence in particular, where I was just kind of like, okay, we're about 15 minutes into the sequence. Yeah. And I was kind of like, okay, I understood who he was fighting before and why, but now I'm just kind of like, he's in a random bar and somebody's got an axe, and what's happening is cool, but I'm just kind of like, where are we and why are we doing this?
I mean, was that not a brothel though? Like,
I can't even remember. Why was he fighting anyone in the brothel?
Well, I think because he just barged into it, and there was probably like, you know, these things are like armed by people who like, you know, I don't get the impression this was an above the ground brothel.
No, I'm not saying that, but like, do you know what I mean? And like, where it's just kind of like, okay, he's running away from the police and now he's in this brothel or bar, whatever it was, and now he's fighting somebody with an axe, and I'm like, it's cool, but like, I was just really confused in that moment. And
well, I gotta be honest, I think that's actually the biggest strength of the action sequences. It's not the sort of John Wick ballet sort of thing where it's like everything, like, you know, we're watching like an artist, like his violence is almost like an artistry. This is just like a guy who's just like, who's like initial plan just fucked up, and now is just like, just going on pure adrenaline and rage, and it's like very disorientating. Yeah. I really thought that's what set it apart for me, was like just how much it hones into that disorientating element.
Okay, yeah, but like,
yeah.
In the moment, I was just like, okay, I'm along for the ride, but like, where are we going? And also another thing about the action and the needle drops. In the second sequence, when he's in that like large like restaurant room, there's like a big fight between like a lot of like security guards and like his allies at that point in the film. I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's like this hardcore like rock song playing in the background. And I don't know if you're going to get this reference at all, but the first thing that popped in my head is in How I Met Your Mother, when Jason Segel's like telling stories about like how he like used to roughhouse with his brothers when he was younger. And like this metal song plays in the background during it. That's all I could think of. Like, it was like the same type of music where I was just imagining teenage, like 30-year-old Jason Segel wearing, like, acne makeup, fighting his brothers, like, slamming each other through, like, the coffee table. I don't know. Like, that was the kind of stuff that was on my mind during that action scene for some reason. And, I think the movie's good, but, like, it just... He brought up these things in my mind. I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of funny to me more than it is, you know, like, it was hard for me to take seriously in that moment because it's just like, it was such a slightly off choice for the music in that scene for me.
Yeah.
Overall, I think, like, you know, like, the action is cool. Like, there's some creative stuff in it. Again, I don't want to spoil anything, but there was, like, a pretty, like, gruesome part where I felt like the entire cinema, like, you know, kind of, like, look away and be like, oh, God, that was kind of brutal to watch. And then when we were walking out of the cinema, like, I heard somebody talking about the movie behind us, bringing up that exact thing. So, like, I think there will be some, like, stuff from this movie that I think we'll see copied in the future and a lot of, like, other more, like, mainstream action stuff. Like, Dev Patel, like, definitely did bring a lot of, like, creativeness to this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very glad he directed it instead of the initial director he wanted.
Yeah, Neil Blomkamp.
I want Neil Blomkamp to bounce back. I mean, apparently people like Gran Turismo, so I haven't seen it, but yeah.
So from gamer to racist?
Yeah, I don't really have too much else to say about this movie, but yeah, sorry, go on.
I think we both think, you know, like, it's definitely worth seeing. There's a lot of really, really good stuff in it, creative stuff. There's a point where it kind of goes into, like, this transcendental, like, universe spanning spiritual journey, which I really liked. But yeah, like, I think it's just, for me, it's just like, it's a really good first try. And I'm not trying to, like, talk down on it in any way. Like, that's just what it feels like to me. Like, it's really, really good. And I think he can do better in the future.
Yeah, no, I think, like, as far as, like, an actor turned filmmaker debut where you're also your own action star, I think you can't ask for too much better than this.
Like, oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I really liked it. Again, I find, like, a lot of the haphazard elements of it, it does enhance the film, in my honest opinion. Like, yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm a big fan. It's very expressive, and I, you know, who knows if he's just going to go, Dev Patel's just going to go down the action route from now on, or he'll do something like, you go into some other genres, or, you know, maybe does his own fucking, like, Oscar vehicle or some shit. Like,
well,
I'm excited for whatever he does next.
Yeah, like, I don't hope he doesn't stick to action, but, you know, like, the performances I've seen him put in, like, I don't know how well it did financially, but, you know, Lion from, what was that, 2016, 2017 at this point?
Yeah, that made a lot of money.
Oh, did it? Well, like, I just mean, like, a lot of people then saw, like, how good he can do for just, like, how much he can bring to a performance. And, and I hope this does well financially, just to, you know, show Netflix who was just going to whack it on their platform. Like, hopefully it makes enough money for them to, like, look at it and be like, oh, we could have made that money if we just weren't stupid. You know, yeah. Like, and, you know, props to Jordan Peele for, you know, putting his name up to bring this to cinemas, because, like, I feel like if I was watching this just on my TV, I probably would have felt the same way about it, but I also probably would have, you know, felt that lull you were talking about between the two main action sequences.
Yeah, I didn't mention it in this podcast, but I did mention it to you after we saw the film. Yeah. But yeah, there is a tiny bit of a lull, but again, I think that I'm just trying to find nitpicks at that point. Like,
yeah.
But no, it's interesting you say that about about Netflix, because, you know, maybe they were thinking of giving this like a short theatrical run, like, but you know, Netflix is gonna Netflix, so we don't really know. But I swear to God, I watched a trailer for Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp.
What?
The sequel, the live action Woody Woodpecker movie.
It's going to be a Netflix movie.
A Woody Woodpecker. Yeah, but it's like a sequel to like a 2017 one that I hadn't even heard of. That, like,
what am I looking at here?
And I don't know. It's like
that Woody Woodpecker looks like the original Sonic.
Yeah, but do you know what?
What?
Do you know what? That's getting a theatrical release.
From Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hello, Jacob here. Just a little editor's note. I've done some research and apparently it's not a theatrical release, but I don't know what happened. I watched the trailer late in the night, so maybe I was dozing off, but I swore I read in theaters and in Netflix, and I was like, what? But, there's no confirmation of that. It seems like it's not getting a theatrical release, but... So, apologies for the mistake and for this conversation about Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp, but I saw something. Maybe they had mistakenly uploaded a trailer. I don't have any proof of that. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe I was just dozing off and was dreaming something, but... That's my clarification. Sorry, guys. Back to the conversation.
It's telling me, It was announced the movie would be released on Netflix on April 12th.
Yeah, it's simultaneous theatrical.
The hell? There was a 2017 Woody Woodpecker?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so it'll... Oh, and it was shot in Melbourne.
What?
It's like, I know Woody Woodpecker, like, but like, I didn't know of this fucking Woody Woodpecker, like,
so odd
movie that warranted a sequel.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, Netflix. Hey, great. Just while we're on disappointing things, sorry, just our normal wrap up and tirades about stuff. I have some good news and bad news for everybody listening. Shane Black is coming back to direct, and he's co-writing a new film called Play Dirty. Great news, isn't it? Bad news is starring Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I mean... Hopefully it can be okay, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, just... We can't have anything good anymore. You know, no. Like, it's been 8 years. I'm going to give up on the nice guys too. But, you know, just Mark Wahlberg. I thought we were done. You know, like, he can weasel his way into anything. He was going to be Nathan Drake. He was Max Payne. And then he ended up being Sully. So, like, you know, not just he'll put his
stick plate, to Father Stew.
Yeah,
he'll stick just, to Father Stew.
But he'll just put his nose in something that I want to be good. Imagine listening to James McCaffrey's voice and then thinking, do you know who can do that? Mark Wahlberg. Anyway, Dev Patel made a pretty good movie, I think. You think a little bit more highly of it than I do, but I think it's definitely worth going to see in the cinema. On the big screen, and we can get Dev Patel back in the director's chair pretty soon, hopefully.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely check Monkey Man out. It's I think it's releasing in theaters this week, like in most places. Yeah,
I think so.
Looking forward to it.
All right,
and yeah, this has been Potato Chips and the Sidewalk. I have no idea what we're going to do next. Maybe Challengers, that's coming out. I really want to talk about La Chimera, but I'm not sure if you're going to have time to see that when it comes out.
When is that coming out?
I think next week or the week after. Perfect Days also is out now.
I was meant to go see that. Yeah. Let's just see whether or not we can make it out of that Civil War by Alex Garland. I'm very interested to see what a movie that's been like completely praised in its premiere and then made the director quit. So like,
praise at South by Southwest is just like,
yeah, you know, but like
someone made a tweet, it's like South by Southwest seemingly has this unfailing annual occurrence that every film that's ever shown there is a masterpiece. Like,
but I'm also, you know, like interested to see what made the director quit.
Yeah, it's, absolutely.
Yeah, like that's a very interesting idea to me. Like, what possibly happened during this?
But absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Bye.